Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review a boutique wine from Southern California from the Temecula Valley, namely Wilson Creek's Chloe Vineyard Viognier. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here. How are you tonight, Wine Guy?
Oh, I'm feeling sophisticated, classy, and very sexy. Very sexy.
So plainly you didn't take your pill tonight, did you?
That's my side of the equation. I feel I'm the sexy part.
I know. Yeah. Why are you going to keep taking your pill so the voices in your head are subdued?
Viagra?
Wilfred,
I don't need that, Scott. I'm very virile.
Wilfred, I was talking to Rob the Wine Guy.
There's a stiff breeze, and I'm just, you know, I'm rigid like a corpse.
There's a breeze, all right.
Speaking of corpses, never mind. Anyway, on tonight's...
Corpuscles?
What?
On tonight's show, we have a white wine, something we don't normally do. We have white wines in the queue, and they're like, yeah, no, no, no.
No. Rob... curates the show and does most of the work on the show.
I didn't curate this wine.
He curates the show. Though,
well, I put together the show, yes.
Though he goes back in the wine vault and the white wines are like, don't you forget about me.
And I said, who are you?
Think of me when you pick wine for the show.
Well, normally I'm picking wine at like 7:30 at night and we start about 8:30. That's not a lot of time. So I have to have time to chill the wine and tonight I did. And tonight, and you had said, let's do a white. Well, you said a different white, but that white's still there, and that white will be great. But this white is one that's interesting as well, and it's something that Scott bought. This is a Viognier. Now, I don't know that we've ever done Viognier on the show. We have?
We did one from, like, Washington or Oregon. We did an oddball Viognier once.
We probably did, but it never aired. We've never aired a Viognier.
It should.
Well, we haven't. We've probably done something that was Euro, that was Viognier, that we didn't know. We just couldn't pronounce the grape, and it actually is, you know, Czechoslovakian for Viognier, but that's okay. Anyway, Viognier is a lovely white grape that really, it's something that everyone that drinks white should be drinking. It's not quite like Chardonnay. It has the same body. It looks the same. It uses virtually the same glassware, assuming that it's not an oaked Chardonnay glass. But it has some subtle differences, mostly in the way the fruit is presented, mostly in the way that a Viognier is a little more floral than a Chardonnay. Chardonnays are a little more buttery. They're a little more oak-driven, or they taste like a lifesaver, not Viognier, proper Viognier. This one specifically is from Wilson Creek, and you're saying, what the hell is Wilson Creek? Wilson Creek is from a part of California that no one goes to, but someone does. Temecula Valley. That's in Southern California. And I know what you're saying. Rob, Southern California, what, wine? Yes, they do grow wine in Southern California, in the Temecula Valley.
Quite a bit, actually.
Yes, and they do nice things. Now, Scott was at the Temecula Valley, and he was at this winery, and he bought this wine at the winery.
Nice wine. Nice tasting. Great facility. Mm-hmm. Easy to find. Temecula Valley. This is now, granted, this is from the Wikipedia, but listen to this list of grapes produced in Temecula Valley. And Wilson Creek has a huge list of varietals that they produce. Here, this is from the American viticulture area known as Temecula Valley. Grapes produced: Black Muscat, Cab Franc, one of Rob's favorites, Cab Sauvignon, Chardonnay, Chenin Blanc, Cinsault. We like Cortez, I don't know what that is, Dolcetto, an Italian varietal, Gamay Noir,
yeah,
Gewurztraminer, that too, Malbec, Merlot, Mourvèdre, one of our favorites, Muscat Canelli, Muscat of Alexandria, Nebbiolo, Orange Muscat, Palomino, Petit Verdot, Petit Syrah, Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, Riesling, Roussanne, Ruby Red, R-U-B-I-R-E-D. I don't know.
I don't know.
I would guess, just because of the heritage of wines in California, I would guess it's some Italian varietal.
I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of it either. No. Sangiovese.
I've heard of that.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Heard of
Semillon,
that. Semillon. Yes.
Syrah. Tannet. Viognier. And Zinfandel. That's a hell of a wide listing of grapes produced in Temecula.
Now, one thing though, Scott, you did say is one problem with the wines in Temecula Valley, they are not exactly cheap because they are not large production wines. Most of the wineries would qualify as boutique wineries. So,
and most of them are newer. Mm-hmm. You got to make money or you're just going to go under. So you've got to find the right price point.
Mm-hmm. This one right now is on, well, this is the 2021 vintage, but right now it goes for $29.74 on their website. And obviously there's probably $1 million in shipping, but that's okay. It's around $30 to $35. Didn't you pay $40? Because you're a Huckleberry?
No, I don't. I think their prices, they were cheaper in person.
But well, you wrote 40 on the back of the bottle.
Did I really then? Well, yeah. Then I must have Huckleberried out.
You must have got the James Suckling sock puppet discount.
It's also possible that I was really drunk when I purchased it. And I have no idea what I paid.
Did you drink through a sock puppet, Scott? Is that what they said? It's a local custom?
No, they did. They had a great gift shop, and I think they did have sock puppets.
And then you said, "Wait a minute, that's just a gentleman with a sock on his dick. I'm not stupid. That's not his hand. I'm not a dummy. But it's a custom." Okay.
What? It's a custom sock puppet?
It was a custom sock puppet. You just don't get a penile sock puppet at any store. Let me rephrase this. I hope you do not get a penile sock puppet at just any store.
You don't, actually. Where I get mine custom made.
Do you?
What? I'm now traumatized, and I've been to Thailand. With Wilford.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right. His name was Jose. That's right. And he makes custom penile sock puppets.
Oh, Lord.
How's that different than a very small sock, Wilford?
Who said it's small? Seriously, who have you been talking to?
Anybody that's ever met you.
Anyway, Scott paid 40 when it actually cost 30, but that's typical for Scott. That's right. But it's like 750-ish cases made, so it's small. 757 cases. It is not, there's not oak age, it's all stainless, which is proper for Viognier. Not to say that they don't oak age Viognier. But Viognier is best in its pure, simple form, just letting the fruit and the aromatic shine. So,
in case you can't tell, Viognier is one of the wine guy's favorites.
No, I like it. I really do.
It's got a place in his heart.
I rarely drink it, but I like it.
One of the things I appreciate about Viognier, it's a white wine that you can count on to have, at a minimum, it's going to have some body to it.
Yes, it is.
And typically, it's going to have a nice, more luxurious mouthfeel.
Without oak.
And
it's just the way the grape presents itself. So
I like to think a white wine like that, and what I mean by like that is something that has a mouthfeel and something that has some body. I call it kind of a red wine drinker's white wine.
It can be, but it also has delicate, subtle flavors. Well, we're going to take a break, though, because I'm going to drink this. So we're going to take a break and come right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the 2021 Wilson Creek Chloe Vineyard Viognier from Temecula Valley. Chloe Vineyard, single vineyard, presumably. Unless their whole place is called Chloe, but I doubt it is. Now, what are we expecting from Viognier? Scott, we talked about it a little bit. We're expecting something, a white that has a little more richness to it, in a certain sense. Fruit richness, maybe some aromatics. Not necessarily oak-driven. This is stainless steel, so it shouldn't have woody notes. It's not going to be buttery. It shouldn't really be as much more tropical fruit. Maybe pear, honeysuckle. That honeysuckle is always something that you're expecting. Maybe a little bit of vanilla, but not from an oaky vanilla. Things like that can be the nuance. Maybe a little green apple, maybe. But the acidity isn't necessarily as high on a Viognier as it would be like a Pinot Blanc or a Pinot Gris. That's really where you're seeing that.
Wine Folly, she says five primary flavors.
Yes.
Tangerine, peach,
yeah,
mango, honeysuckle, and rose.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if some of that's the aromatics.
The aromatics. Oh, sorry about that, folks. I whacked my mic with my hand.
You mentioned rose water, and Rob's inner James Suckling comes out, and he
take that, you motherfucker. Oh, that hurt. I think I had a seizure. Mitch McConnell, I froze up. I don't know what happened.
Ow, easy, too soon.
I'm going to stay till the end of my term. I don't think you are, Mitch. They're just going to put you in the corner.
But
it's just like a statue.
Everybody in the world is, he had some type of event. Yet
yeah, he's old.
The congressional doctor made an announcement. Okay, wait, no, he did make an announcement, but Mitch's staffers made the announcement that the congressional doctor said he did not have an event.
An event. I met the dude, how many years ago was it? It was like 2015 or whatnot. Hell, he was having an event that he just stood there like a turkey in headlights. I don't know. I'm Mitch McConnell. He looks like a turtle like a turkey turtle. And he just stands there, and he's just completely spaced out. That's what the dude is. I'm thinking, he's a power broker, I guess.
Let's give Mitch the benefit of the doubt.
He must have been conserving his energy that day.
Becky did say when you went up and introduced yourself, you weren't quite yourself. You might have been a different persona.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a different reaction, don't present yourself as Wilford Wrong.
I was wearing sweatpants. What do you want me to do? Crusty ones. Hey, Mitch.
Yet somehow it's amazing that Mitch was distant.
Moscow Mitch, that's what they call him.
Maybe that's what he was thinking about when he couldn't speak.
No.
He was thinking about Wilford Wrong.
I call him.
In that dinner party.
I call him Mr. Tamarack. Don't ask why.
Nobody needs to ask. You'll just tell us.
Is that a tapping foot?
Anyway, in the glass, this does have the right sheen. It appears to be still.
Very still.
Yeah. You always are effervescence in a white wine, unless it's a sparkling wine or a Prosecco or something like that, is a flaw. This does not have that, though. It's completely still. It is a very pale, almost a light golden sheen to it. Almost like a white gold. It's very pretty. It's very, very pretty. The nose, it does have subtle hints of honeysuckle.
Almost like a lemon in the background with the honeysuckle?
Yeah.
It's not, it's very subtle nose.
Also like a malted milk. Not a malted milk ball.
I was going to say something sweet.
Mm-hmm. Not quite lemon curd. It's a little bit lighter than that. Like a lemon meringue kind of aroma. Lemon meringue, malted milk bowl, and honeysuckle.
I'm going in.
Have you had this before?
The truth is,
you don't remember.
I don't remember what we did in the tasting. We did so many different things, and this was the first tasting that day. They may not have offered it at the tasting.
The finish, you would swear, is on oak. It has a very hard edge finish. I wonder if the 2021 was oaked. Maybe I'm not looking at Chloe Vineyard. Let me look at this again. Let's go back here. I don't think... I am not looking at the right one. Can't be. Let's go down here.
Yeah, this may have been like a single vineyard.
This is a single vineyard that's on oak. There's no way about it. You know, they don't really have this. They don't really have information. I saw Viognier, but then in reality, it's just a standard Viognier. This is a more expensive wine. But I don't think they have any information on this wine. This is on oak. You can tell that.
This box on higher ground. It's 1 acre.
Probably American.
Let's look in the last sip in library wines. Nope, no luck there. That may have been the difference in the price point being 40. The regular price in the V&A is $35 for the bottle. It's on sale at $29.74.
Well, here it is in Wine Enthusiast.
Really?
It is $40, by the way. So you did not get hoodwinked.
Mm. Don't, you know, I like how optimistic you are that I didn't get hoodwinked.
You didn't.
Other than the pool.
Pool watch. No, we're not going to do that. I'll join Wine Enthusiast. First name, Steve. Last name, Slap.
Lord, just use my login.
Email.
There's a... While Rob is wasting time.
I am wasting time.
This wine has an appeal about it that takes you away. It takes me away, folks. I really am enjoying this wine.
It got 88 of their points.
I don't know what you mean by hard on the finish.
Well...
I think it has a nice finish, and then it stops abruptly. I don't know if that's what you meant by a hard finish, like a hard stop.
Well, here's what the review says. Orange blossom, tangerine, sorbet, honeysuckle, and wet cement make for a complex nose on this bottling. Riper flavors of candied peach, apricot jam make for a nearly sweet palate.
It really is a sweet palate. That's a very good descriptor of this wine. I don't think it's a residual sugar sweet palate, but the fruit profile is a sweeter palate.
I'd say that it's sweeter and a little bit more intense than what you normally would associate with Viognier. That could be because of, quite frankly, it's a one-off. It's a small production. Well, they're all small productions, but... It's an extremely small production for this winery.
Yep.
So the other one has 757 cases, just the standard one. Oh, what does this one have? You know? Zippity doodle. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have any. It's just tiny. Let's just see if we can find some stuff here about this. 2021 awards. Nope. It's strange that they've completely scrubbed it from their website. They don't have any information on it.
Yeah.
They must be very, very impressed with it.
Or it's just something they keep up when they intend to sell it online. Sell it so they provide information for the stuff they're going to sell online. Wilson Creek was... I'd encourage people if they're in LA and they want to go do wine not to go too far. And yet they want to stay local to LA. It's worth a try. We enjoyed it. Is it the greatest wine experience? It's not Napa. You know, it's not Sonoma. It's not more, and it's younger. I think the designation was in the 80s that it became recognized AVA.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, but it was great tasting. Nice little experience. I think there were two wedding parties that day. Mm. Not that there were weddings. They were there the day before for a party. Going to have the wedding somewhere else. They were setting up for a wedding that night, a band, food. Just a wonderful, reasonably priced experience. We all bought wine that day. The cousins, Duke and Ruth Ellen, hadn't been there before, but their friends had. And the friends liked particularly a specific dessert wine that Wilson Creek did. And they did quite a few of them. And it might have been the Black Muscat. I don't recall what they bought for their friend. You know, and I think these little niche wineries might get a reputation for doing sweeter wines, but plainly the wines we enjoyed, I think they had a GSM.
Yeah, they do.
So that like 50 that bucks. We liked.
And you commented to me, though, you liked a lot of the wines that you went and you tried, but you're like, $50, $100. You're like,
Well, the other, so we went to, what was it called? Moto Dufo. And they just, you know, really liked their wines, but they wanted $100 for some of their stuff. And I'm mm-hmm. just like,
it doesn't have the pedigree for that, right?
I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I wanted to support them. I ended up not buying wine there. It was the price point was just like, I can't do it. I did buy a t-shirt.
I
did buy a t-shirt.
A t-shirt, yeah. You didn't buy a novelty glass? What kind of t-shirt?
That motorcycle t-shirt. Moto Dufo.
That's so weird.
It's like a motorcycle theme thing. The owner started the vineyard. It's a motorcycle aficionado.
So. What was that guy that did like the bike tracks through his fucking vineyard and like to ride?
The Pinot guy in Oregon.
Yeah. That sold a lot to China.
I still say we should the hell revisit that. In fact, I'm going to go to Myrtle. I'm going to go to Total Wine and find that guy.
When are you going to Myrtle?
Made of fun. End of the month.
On a month?
End of the month.
Okay. Yeah.
Golf trip.
Yeah. Gonna get some Michael. No, what the hell was his name? Robert. I don't know what the hell was his name.
Oh Lord,
it's not that important. He had a wife. I assume he still
that
has
narrows her. It down.
Assume he still has her, and I mean that because he's sexist, probably.
I think you're sexist.
She's my property. That's what he said. I heard it. It was written on his website, isn't it? He owns his wife?
Yeah, if we could remember the name of it. He owns his wife. Jiminy yeah. Christmas. Samuel Robert.
Samuel Robert Winery. Anybody that has two first names, you can't trust them.
I'm not a... Or no first name. Just like Hayden Fry. Neither of those are...
Samuel Robert Winery. Yeah. I have a dirt bike track in my vineyard. Yeah.
This folks, truth.
He really does. Because he's a dipshit. That's all right.
Easy.
What?
Maybe people like his stuff.
Like nobody even knows what that is.
I actually thought it has some potential.
Really?
I did.
Okay. 6 years ago when we drank it, you thought it had potential?
We're going to go back to it.
You go buy that and we'll see. Samuel Robert. They have plenty of it. They're case stacking that shit.
Okay. So
he has nude pictures of somebody in the distribution center at Total Wine.
Here's something interesting.
What?
Total Wine's website, looking at Samuel Robert, Pinot Noir, Willamette, Vintners Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
You know something's interesting about it?
What?
It's not less than a vintage anymore.
It's not vintage.
That's concerning.
It's Solera. We blend multiple vintages. We don't know what year it is.
I may have to take my thought back. That
I have a sundial, and then I dropped the sundial, and I said, shit. Is it 1894? I don't know what year it is.
Vignier, Wilson Creek.
Did they have dirt bikes in 1894? Oh, 1994?
Well,
I saw this feller named Scott come in, and he was dressed like he was from 1994. So I assumed that's what it was. 94. It confused me. He had jerseys on that don't exist anymore. He had a soccer jersey from an orthodontist. He was wearing it. And I was like, that's ugly as shit.
It was a dentist.
It's like, well, I'm sorry. I said, why are you wearing it? Because it's yellow. You look like a big canary wearing that shit.
Well,
like, that's right.
Canary, peacock.
Well, I wore it when I played soccer, Scott said. I was like, did you fit it when you played soccer? It's a little tight there, Scott. It's nice, though.
Well,
but it's yeller.
That one's not tight.
It was a little tight, Scott.
No,
you couldn't play soccer in that now. You'd have to cut up the back a little bit.
Well,
vent that shit for yourself. I'm just saying. Not judging.
Never.
I'm judging. I'm looking at you right now.
You never judge.
I'm going to get out a felt-tip pen and circle all your flaws, Scott. That's right. You got to get naked, though. Don't do that. I'll just make one big circle.
Like marking me up for the lipo?
Look, I'll do that for myself, too. Look, I just... Oh, yeah, right there.
That's a different reason.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
Why is your felt-tip pen pink?
It's because it's my... Why is it wet? So let's break this white light down.
I've been trying to direct you that way. Didn't work.
That qualifies as sexual harassment, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to file a complaint with HR on the show.
You are HR.
I know. Yes, he found that you're at fault for sexually harassing me.
Jesus Christ.
Eyes up here. Anyway.
Good God.
In the wine itself. This is a quaffer. The problem with it is, and, you know, from a consumer standpoint, it doesn't really matter to you. You're probably not going to find this anywhere. For me, though, it's a little bit more grandiose than what I want from a Viognier. Maybe I don't want... oak. I would try their base, but even then, the enthusiast kind of had some of the points correct in the fact that it is a little bit overripe, not residual sugar style, but the fruit is too grandiose, too overripe, and it comes across as a bit jammed or candied in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the wine probably appealing to certain people. But they drink out of novelty wine glasses. But,
Dixie cups.
It costs a little bit much for that. There's not, and in that price range, you expect to be drinking a wine that shows the more intellectual side of the grape. And that doesn't happen here.
Well, the thing
this
about
is more,
it.
For, this is more the Chuck E. Cheese version.
The thing about it for me, Chuck E. Cheese.
Whack-a-mole.
I would like it to be a little drier.
Yeah, I'd like it to be a lot drier. I've had Rieslings that are drier than this.
I would like it to be oaked a little stronger.
I would like it not to be oaked at all and to be drier.
Really? Well,
I don't want a shred of oak because
that candied fruit. I think
Scott, you're gonna fuck it up just like a J. Lore if you do that. You don't want more oak. The idea is less oak. And a lot more restrained use and a lot more, well, better fermentation process where you're getting more of that residual sugar out of there. I mean, you might have a little bit higher alcohol level. What is the alcohol level on this? 1?
I think 13 and a half.
Is it? Okay. It needs to be 14 and a half.
That was the stock Viognier. What'd that bottle say?
13.7. It needs to be 14.7. That might get a little hot, but you got to get rid of that residual sugar somehow. I mean, that is residual sugar, Scott. It has a... Now, that being said, it's a drinker. You can drink it.
Yeah.
But if you want a wine where you're saying, I want to experience Viognier at its finest, that's not this wine at all. This is Viognier at its, well, It's going out for a night on the town.
It's fine.
It is wearing a dress it probably shouldn't wear.
And, a little too tight?
Well, it can...
Not in, I mean, in the best way?
Well, I mean, you know, it's just... I don't know. It's just...
Are you being judgy?
Yeah.
I don't think you should body shame this one.
There's some lipstick on its teeth. It's a, what is it? Side A?
Hasn't Wilfred... My kids love that. This Saturday Night Live
is
performance.
No ordinary love. No ordinary love.
Folks, Google Sade lipstick on teeth.
Dude, when you got away. I don't know the lyrics, but you know.
That's never stopped you before.
That's right.
But, Sade with lipstick on. That's what this is.
It is Sade this, with lipstick on.
This wine will make you get lipstick on your teeth.
Well, yeah. There'll be lipstick on the glass. You're wearing a lot of lipstick drinking this.
Really? You're right. That's strangely enough. I do drink this wine. This is Wilfred. And I wear lipstick while I drink it.
Rob goes out to grill and decides he's going to have a viognier tonight.
Mm. That goes hasn't ever in, happened.
Goes
but.
Back in to get the meat, and Becky notices, says, Rob, what are you doing with lipstick on your teeth?
Yeah. What am I grilling? Eggplant?
Probably.
I'll throw myself
you.
Off the deck if that's the case. It'll take a while to bring about my death. It might take me 100 times, 10,000 times to throw myself off the deck. Yes. All 3 feet, I'm falling into the soft grass. But eventually it'll happen, and I'll do it until it happens.
Some of our listeners are praying.
Yeah. Let's grill some
eggplant. For your safety.
Let's grill some eggplant. Let's not. Somebody at my work, she goes, what do you do with eggplant? I said, throw it away.
Eggplant's delicious.
I was like, you can grill it, but I don't. And I said, well, you can make eggplant parmesan, which means you're just covering it in sauce and cheese and shit.
Who grills eggplant?
Becky likes grilled eggplant.
Really?
Yeah.
Thickly sliced? Because it. Yeah. The problem with eggplant and grilling it, I would imagine.
It tastes bad.
Is that it gets soft and mushy.
It's eggplant, isn't it?
The way to prepare eggplant.
Fry. No. What was the at
eggplant
the tip top?
Fries? Fuck me. Those are good.
Yeah. Proper eggplant French fries with battered and fried that are basically defeating the point of eating eggplant are delicious.
They hold it like a cheese stick.
They do.
They were like a cheese stick.
Yes, they do. And they make you fat, okay? Eggplant can make you fat if you eat it that way. But that's the only way eggplant is good.
Again, Rob Dern.
Remember how you, what was that? That was, you liked that baby eggplant out of a can. When we were on a vacation, we were in a camper. The superstar was there too, and we had made these beautiful ribeyes, right? Bone-in ribeyes. And Scott had this can of what looked like fetuses in a can, and he opened it up and it was baby eggplants, he said. And it was the most fucking revolting fucking thing you ever seen.
It's delicious,
and he's eating this shit raw out of a can.
That's how you eat it. It's an eggplant relish.
And so he goes to Steve, do you want some of this
eggplant relish,
this medical waste I have? And Steve goes, nah, man, I'm good.
It was pretty funny.
That was pretty disgusting.
Of course, that was right after Steve broke the grill.
That's true. That's the same. They use, you know, the asshole conservatives that like do the those posters at different games, like you're going to hell because of abortion and whatnot. Yeah. They don't have actual pictures of fetuses. They just open cans of that and throw it on a plate, and that's what they do.
It's an eggplant tomato onion relish.
Yeah, don't buy that.
Trader Joe's near the olive oil.
It's a fucking can.
It's fucking delicious.
Gross. It's not appealing.
Smear an bruschetta.
No, man. You can smear anything. Smear your own self on bruschetta and eat it as opposed to that.
It'd be delicious.
Ugh.
What's gross. Not good on bruschetta?
That.
You've never had that on bruschetta.
I wouldn't.
Eggplant is very popular on bruschetta. Here's how you serve.
Not that eggplant.
Here's how you serve eggplant, and it's delicious.
Out of a can.
Half it, lengthwise. Hollowed out, make a canoe.
So you're taking out most of the eggplant. Yes, go ahead.
Take the eggplant, chop it fine. Mix it with sautéed onion.
Throw it away.
Sausage.
Sauté some onions with some sausage.
A little bit of tomato sauce. Stuff it back in the canoe. Bake it off at 350. Last 5 minutes. Cover it in mozzarella. It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
Folks, you use the eggplant as a bowl, and then you don't eat the eggplant.
No, you put the eggplant back in, idiot.
You take the eggplant, you throw it in the trash, then you get some diced onions. And you open a green pepper, hollow it down, put that shit in. The eggplant's in the trash.
Why are you hating on eggplant?
Because I don't like eggplant. It's just not, no. It doesn't do anything. It's just,
you remember
no.
When you didn't like asparagus?
No.
When you were a child?
I never ate asparagus. I didn't even know what it was when I was a kid.
See?
I didn't know I liked it or didn't like it.
Brussels sprouts then.
My parents never made that stuff.
You're such a sheltered child.
But I didn't make it. I don't know. Lima beans? Yeah, we had lima beans. They're fine.
Why were lima beans a thing then but not asparagus?
I don't think my parents like asparagus. I've never seen them eat it.
They didn't like lima beans either, but they made you eat it because
lima beans are a low country food. It's a farmer food. Asparagus, once again, you'd think would be, but my grandparents never grew it, so they never ate it. So probably because they didn't like it. I assume that people grow asparagus around here, right?
You can just put it out in your yard and it'll come up every year.
Yeah, it's not something that any of them grew. And probably because they grew up canning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Canned asparagus, you know.
Yeah.
What works good canning? Peas, green beans, that kind of stuff. That works really well canned. Canned. But not asparagus, you know. Pickled beets, that kind of stuff. I mean, that's what you know.
Yeah.
You'd make tomato sauce, you'd make barbecue sauce. One time my mom mixed up the barbecue and the tomato sauce because it looked the same, and she put barbecue sauce on our spaghetti.
How was that?
It was not good. My dad goes, I'm not eating that shit. And she used turkey burger, and so it was gray. That was back in like the 80s when we hadn't really, alternative meats just really hadn't come about. Turkey's healthier. Yeah, and it's gray. Why is it gray?
It still is gray.
You know? Yeah. Well, she didn't know this thing existed called seasoning. So, you know, turkey, maybe some salt, tomatoes, well, tomato sauce, on noodles. Voila. Bon appetit.
I would rather eat the stalest, worst tofu in the world than have ground turkey.
Yeah. It's not bad in, like, stuff green peppers or something like that, but
first of all, never stuff a green pepper. Don't eat green pepper.
I like green peppers.
Get a red or a orange.
Well, I like
pepper.
Them too. I like them all.
They're more better.
They are.
There's no excuse to ever eat green pepper.
There's no excuse to ever eat eggplant. Your eggplant canoe.
I gotta go eggplant over green
eggplant
pepper.
Eggplant canoe.
Eggplant's at least not bitter.
I like the bitter. You like Chilean wines. Not Casas del Busco, or whatever the fuck that was. Not Casa. Casas. Multiples. Because there's more than one place. So if you're going to go firebomb them, you know you have to go a lot of different places to take care of the job.
No, they just stuttered.
Yeah, maybe it could be Casa. They can't speak Spanish. It's just the way it is. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So in the potpourri, we actually never talked about the actual wine because we started talking about eggplant. But that's okay. Eggplant. How many shows do you hear, folks, that talk probably, 15 minutes about eggplant?
I mean, probably none of them are hearing this right now because they've already turned off the episode.
They were fascinated by the eggplant discussion. You know, take the eggplant, throw it away. Then you dice an onion. You say that quickly, though, and nobody ever notices. two things. And I don't know why I said two things, because it's probably a lot of things. So we're going to start off. Scott and I had a wonderful purchase this weekend. And we'd like to thank Costco for being dumb. So, folks, what is my favorite winery in Bordeaux? Trick question. All of them. That's the answer. But if I was going to pick one, Panay Canet would be that one. Or maybe, we'll just say Panay Canet for argument's sake, although Pichon Bennell. We'll say Pouillac.
Okay.
But that's where that is. So, what does Panay Canet cost, folks? Anywhere from $150 to $200. Okay. So, Costco, they sometimes have premium wines. And if you're in a real town, you know this. And you're like, yeah, of course it does. Well, we live in the backwoods. And we have a dickhead guy named Dave Yost, who's our attorney general. And he fights with wine because he doesn't like to have fun. Anyway, I was going to say something else.
But Dave don't want to have fun.
No.
No, Yost, he doesn't have fun.
You know what? His nickname.
What's his nickname?
Code name, actually.
Code name?
Tamarack stall number 4. Yeah. You got Mitch, stall number 2. Dave, stall number 4. Guess who's in stall number 3?
Wilfred.
No.
Who's in stall number 3?
Mike Pence, strangely enough. I don't know.
He's back in the news, by the way. Wilfred, did you know your ex, I mean,
what?
That ex-vice president.
I wish, yeah.
Is running for president?
Does anybody else know that?
Well, Don does.
I don't think he minds.
He's probably not happy about
it. No, you're losing to a man who's indicted 3 times.
Well, how many?
Yeah. 5. I don't know.
Some of the private laws.
RICO statute, folks.
Yeah, that RICO don't play.
That's not a good job there, Mikey Pence.
So anyway, Panay Canet, you know, somewhere, Chateau Panay Canet, somewhere in the $150 to $200 range, right? Well, the Costco had the 19 vintage, which is not the 18, it's not the 20, I know that, it's not the 16, 15, but it's still okay.
It only gets 98s.
Yes, from James, that's correct. However, as opposed to $150, $160, $180, they had it for $79 a bottle.
Our thought point is it was supposed to be priced at
$179 per bottle, but they left off a one, which is unfortunate for them. So what we did, what I did was
very gracious. He communicated.
I called Scott. I didn't text Scott. I called Scott and said, would you like some? He goes, yeah, get me a bottle. Well, one bottle was not enough for Scott. I ended up buying 4 bottles, 2 for Scott, 2 for me. And, you know,
what's better than one premium wine, $100 off, 2 bottles?
Well, I called Becky and I said, you know, this is what's going on. She's like, oh, do you want to get a bottle? I went, no, I'm going to get multiples. I'm going to get 2. Oh. I'm not passing up $179 Panay Canet. So now we have Panay Canet, but I also have many other things that have snuck in there that Becky doesn't know about. So let's just ignore that fact. I bemoaned earlier in the year, I'm not going to be able to buy any Bordeaux this year because wine.com doesn't really have any. And they don't. They have 24 right now, which is great. They even have a little tab that says Bordeaux Futures. Yeah. There's, okay. Doesn't take very long to look at that, does it? But I was able to satisfy my Bordeaux urges from other sources, some questionable, like Vivino. Hey, whatever, you know. I don't know. That was pretty good. The Baron Pichon, their second label, which was pretty cool to buy. Pretty cool to buy. It's kind of expensive, though. You know, I ordered 3, and I only got 2, and they refunded me for the 3rd, which is good, because it was too much money.
That's kind of shaky. We've had that a couple times we've ordered wine.
Yeah, that's the problem with Vivino. You're ordering through Vivino to a third-party vendor. This is some wine shop out of, I don't know where it was, Virginia or something like that. Mm-hmm. they're not allowed to ship to Ohio. They just don't give a shit. So that's what they do. I'm kind of bought from a place out of Connecticut.
It's probably just a way to get around the shipping laws, right? Vivino technically is the seller, and they bought the licensure to ship to Ohio.
No, no, no. They're not shipping. All they are is a general marketplace for merchants. Now, they do have some wines that they sell, right? But they also have, it's just like Ticketmaster, where sometimes you're buying from Ticketmaster, but often you're buying, you know, secondhand.
Third-party person.
Yeah. That's what Vivino is. So often you're buying from a third-party merchant, and it will tell you that when you're going through. Mm. And they've worked out deals where they have shipping deals, all sorts of stuff through these third-party vendors, but that's how it works. So it'll be some sort of wine shop out of wherever. And they'll have some of their stuff listed. Probably not all their stuff, but probably the stuff that maybe they have in the back that they know that it's hard to sell, but someone's going to buy it. That's where they list it. I doubt they put it on the floor, so.
Well.
And then they ship it and they sell it. Otherwise, I mean, if you have a large Bordeaux section or selection, it's hard to move otherwise. It really is. You don't have me coming through there. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that love Bordeaux, but they don't love it to the point where they're buying infinite amounts.
No.
And the people that do normally have direct sources where they are siphoning off exactly what they want. Your hardcore Bordeaux buyers are, I mean, they'll go to New York City. They'll go places to actually acquire the old Brion, the Petrus, that kind of shit that they want. But they can also buy it through wine.com. I mean, you just have to be in the right state, like Kentucky.
You know, this is Moscow, Miss. We have a very lax wine laws in our state. Now, I'm sorry, I froze up. You can't understand me. I'm mumbling, but I'm a turtle.
Yeah. That's my Moscow Mitch.
Moscow Mitch.
Moscow Mitch. That's what.
Why Moscow?
I don't know. He's Russian? I don't know. That's the Triple B. She was a McConnell Scholar at Louisville.
That's right. That's what the dinner was. The McConnell Scholar dinner.
Well, I met him, though, at the pep rally the next day, where it was the before the football game thing.
Very nice. Rubbing elbows.
Yeah, he stood there like literally a frozen turkey turtle. That's what I would call him, turkey turtle.
Did he shake with a firm grip?
Man, you wouldn't talk to him. He didn't raise his arms. He just stood there like a frightened turkey turtle. He's only like 5'4", maybe 5'5".
It's just not a big guy.
And he weighs like 82 pounds. If a stiff wind came through, it would break him in half.
Yeah, he's looking thin.
This was years ago.
Yeah, he never looked good.
Yeah, I didn't know really who he was then, quite frankly.
What?
I didn't. I mean, Becky had talked about him, but I, you know.
How could you not know who Mitch McConnell was in 2015?
I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't know the name.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you've never seen the pictures on the internet or...
I must have. News. Maybe I just saw them and went, that's fucking ugly. That just burned out of my mind. No. Nevertheless, this wine, Scott, let's go through this real quick. But thank you, Costco, for not knowing how to write things down on a piece of paper. There's a large streak of oak on the back. It has.
It's not unappealing, the oak.
No, but it's not what I want. I think we've talked about this. It adds a little bit of a prickliness to it. So there's pineapple there.
Yep.
There's like a, maybe like an apricot preserves.
I like that. There's like a,
maybe a little bit of a lime edge to it as well. Just kind of streaking through. And it's very strong oak. It's quality oak. It's not like this trash that's sitting there. It's not like that. This doesn't taste like butter Chardonnay.
Mm-mm.
But there's an awful lot of it. But if you want to taste a good quality oak, then I guess that's fine. I just don't feel that it's well integrated into the wine. The wine itself, Viognier, I don't like my Viognier oaked. I just don't. And so, or at least overtly oaked, like this one is.
There's like that candied texture to the fruit. It's just, it's almost like a...
Almost, you know, like a witch's teeth. Kind of like, almost like a waxy Halloween-style candy. And it's that sheen. That, you know how you have that crystalline but kind of waxy sweetness to it? This kind of imparts that, and you kind of get that same vibe.
Yeah. I wish this had like a waxy texture to it, but it's got like kind of like a glycerin texture about it.
But I think the oak hits that so hard it stops anything.
I was hopeful as this opened up and came a little bit up in temperature that I'd enjoy it more. I don't think I do.
It's not... Is it a bad wine? It's not. Stylistically, it is not for us.
And
I think they need to focus on their bread and butter, doing that well, before they get too cute with single vineyard stuff, because they don't have the talent to do it.
I think also they're doing so many different wines.
Yeah.
This is probably really, really young vines.
They do a custom labels too, folks. So
it really is a fun winery though. I do have to say,
maybe they need to have a little less fun.
I couldn't recommend this wine.
We'll get to that here in a little bit.
Particularly at the price point. But
I'll throw a golf ball at your gonads if you happen to try to buy this wine, just to stop you. Save your money. But we're going to take a break, folks. We're going to come back, give it a numerical score, and then remind you not to buy it here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2021 Wilson Creek Chloe Vineyard Viognier from Temecula Valley in California, near Los Angeles, in a place that, well, they have custom labels on their wine. Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine that purports to be a wine?
First of all, I'm going to score the wine higher than the likelihood you could throw a golf ball and hit somebody in the nads.
I could hit you in the nads. I have a golf ball. I bet I could. I didn't say how far away.
Not throwing it.
Oh, yeah.
Golf balls aren't easy to throw. You can have somebody's golf ball, you pick it up out of the hole, and you toss it underhand to them. But to throw a ball overhand baseball style with any sense of accuracy.
I can do it.
No, it's just not easily done.
I'm going to prove that to you.
I'll tell you what. You throw a golf ball, I'll throw a super pinky. I guarantee you I'm more accurate with a super pinky.
A super pinky.
You know what that is? It's the pink bouncy balls.
No, but I don't know what that is.
You don't know what a super
You've been
pink
using
is.
The term pink a little bit too much, the color, you know.
Pink!
I know what you mean.
What's wrong with pink?
I don't know.
Are you color shaming?
You know what my favorite movie is, Scott? It's actually a movie. It's a take on Hunt for Red October. It was Hunt for Pink October. It's a porno, in case you were wondering. Yeah, it's lovely. It actually is a movie, folks. You can look that up on your work computers.
Yeah.
Dad, you should do that, Scott.
Why? What?
I don't know why it's called Hunt for Pink October. What? But it probably involves genitals, I'm pretty sure.
Why, when I search that, do dogs come up? What's wrong with you, Wilfred?
It's a hard R, I think, is what the term. Yeah, it's a.
I'll bet that's what
NC-17.
So, what's your score?
Very approachable. I think. Being open-minded about the sweetness of the fruit, which is not for me, I think it's appealing. I think if somebody's a white wine drinker that likes a sweeter profile, they might could like this. That being the case, it's not as dry as it should be. So I've got to kind of sort of knock it off a point. So I'm at 85. I think the approachability gets it that medium grade score. I don't know what the fuck the wine enthusiast was saying, 88. It's not a fucking 88.
But that is an 85.
Well,
I'm giving this wine 83 of my points. And let me explain why. First of all, the nose does have elements of Viognier. But the actual wine itself does not. This could be, you would mistake it for a Chardonnay of any kind. And not a great Chardonnay, a more of a Kendall Jackson Chardonnay. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but that's a bit of a mess. It has lipstick on its teeth all over, and yeah. Viognier should be classy. And this doesn't have any classiness to it. It's not elegant. The oak is disproportionate to the wine. It's not that it's bad oak. It just doesn't belong. And it's sweet. The wine itself is sweet. And Viognier is not a sweet wine.
It shouldn't. It really shouldn't be. It should be dry.
It's too flawed.
I think probably that's the difference in our scores, too. I didn't mind the oaking. I didn't feel like it didn't fit. I just felt like the wine didn't fit.
It's drinkable. It has drinkability. It's really not like does. A California Cabernet where you give an 83, but you'd rather be, you know, boiled in oil than drink it again, because those things are really, really repugnant. This wine is perfectly drinkable, but Olympically, it's a mess, and it really is something that's like, look, you already do a Viognier, which must be worse than this. Can't you get a hint that you're not very good at Viognier, so you don't like sully the name of Viognier with another Viognier that costs more?
I'm going to give Wilson Creek a little bit of props. I think this isn't as...
I don't think that they're necessarily a bad winery. Don't get me wrong, but I think that their prices, they can suck a dick with their prices. $80 for a Zinfandel. They got a 90 from the enthusiast.
This fucking ass expensive.
Bogle gets a 90 from the enthusiast.
But the point I'm trying to make here is I just think it's the quality of the grape. If Wilson Creek can keep it going, what happens to their grapes in 10 years? And that's part of being established as a winery. But one of the things that I, you know, at the beginning of the episode, I talked about how many different varietals are grown in the Temecula Valley, Temecula AVA, maybe Wilson Creek's trying to do too many different things.
Well, they are. This is the thing. You don't have anything that's good enough to be a single vineyard. You really should be just making a Viognier, you know, and you shouldn't be imparting the expense of oak. It should all be on stainless, right? And you should charge...
The Viognier, that is.
Yes. You should charge $24 for it, right? Because you don't have a $40 wine here. You don't. You have a wine that's a $12 wine.
Well,
that's the complexity. There's no complexity here, folks. The oak is of a higher ilk. This is high quality oak, mind you. There's no doubt about that. It's just everything else is lowbrow, right? It's like putting the best tire you can find, the most expensive Michelin you can find.
On a Vega?
On a rusted out Pinto.
Oh, Pinto, not even a Vega. Pinto.
It's like, why would you do that? Well, I really like tires. You don't waste the oak on this wine. You don't waste that extra expense of the oaking on this wine. Unless you don't know what you're doing. And then you do. Yeah, there's a lot of ways that they could not... There's a lot of overhead they're incurring on things that just aren't worth it. And so if they did not go into little side projects like this and focused on the basic wines and made them as best as they could for a reasonable price, it'd be a lot better. But they don't do that. Because what are they based on? not on the retail market, not on the restaurant market. This winery is based on the tourism market.
Tourism, wine visitors, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it's for.
Wine tourism.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You buy it, you go there. Oh, it's so nice, and everything tastes better when you're at a tasting there. I mean, I bought a bottle from. No, I didn't actually. I did several tastings. I didn't buy a damn bottle from Pine Ridge. I didn't buy a bottle from Trefethen, naturally. I did not buy a bottle from Markham. Oh, I tasted everything. I said, yeah. No.
Thanks for the olives.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, your wine sucks.
No, I'm not going to take the tasting glass with me.
Pine Ridge. I was like, really? Dude, I know your winery, yes. Really? Seriously? That's what you
Which was
want $70 for?
Which was the worst, the Pine Ridge or the Trefethen? Or the Markham?
Markham was completely unmemorable, but...
I thought you said the Trefethen tasting was good.
The environment of the Pine Ridge was terrible because it was all a bunch of fucking bachelorette parties, and that's not what that's about. So you couldn't really have a good tasting. And they encourage it. It's like, I don't want to do that. The best tastings were more serious and quiet. I mean... I had a great tasting at, well, obviously Heights because it was free, but also because it's just lovely. I had a great tasting at Hall because Hall, did my tasting.
That's fantastic.
It really is, isn't it? And it was in a trailer. It was in a mobile home because they were building there. They were building the winery. So it was in a trailer. But guess what? I had the Catherine Hall Cabernet. It's quite good. I had everything. But that right there, that experience, I have a lot of Hall products in my cellar.
They're fantastic.
Why? And you do too, because I told you about them. But because that original experience exposed me to that winery, and it has a good, I have a good opinion of it. Same thing with Heights. I had a wonderful experience, and you know, it's a winery that I have a bit of loyalty to. Hell, Becky has loyalty to Heights.
She loves Heights.
Yeah, she didn't even go in there. She was in the car. But, yeah, it's little things like that. You make that personal connection. They don't really have as much many things on the market anymore as they used to. And I don't understand why, but Chateau Saint-Jean used to have their Sonoma Cabernet. We really liked that back when they sold it. I haven't seen it on the market ever again. But we like Saint-Sapage, but it's a winery that really has pulled back everything. It's owned by Treasury now, but they have a whole huge amount of portfolio that they make at this winery.
That they did.
And you can't buy it in our area anymore.
Maybe it's just our market.
I don't know. But I'm just having a splash. But it's just unusual that. So this winery, it's a tourism winery, I think. And that's kind of what you get. Just like you go down to Biltmore in North Carolina. There you go.
They get suckers. I like the Biltmore's Viognier better than this. Was it a Sauvignon Blanc?
It's hard to tell, isn't it?
They're
both from California.
I'm trying to remember the white wine that the Biltmore did that I liked.
I've had wines from Virginia that are better than this. I've had wines from the Finger Lakes that are better than this.
The Finger Lakes.
It isn't Viognier. It isn't Viognier, but that's okay.
Not dry enough.
No. Nevertheless, folks, an 85, 83, and not recommended, but that's okay.
But I personally recommend the winery tour. Give it a shot. Pick one you like. If nothing else, it's a pleasant experience.
I recommend the winery tour at Klein. It's a lot better. So,
where's Winery Klein do their stuff? Lodi?
Sonoma.
Oh. Huh?
Yeah, they don't have anything. Yeah, their winery is in Sonoma.
Winery in Sonoma.
It's actually the closest one. It's really the first one you get to, because it's not too far from Contra Costa.
Okay.
First one you get to, pretty much out of Berkeley and Oakland, the first one you go up in there is pretty much just Klein. So. Nevertheless, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Licensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.